Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barn Door Co. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide and worldwide via the World Wide Web. Check out the Chief Sports Network app. It is a free download available on Google Play and Apple
App Store.
That's where I got. Okay. Anyway, I'm Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. He is JC Sherbert, my co-host from Points Unknown. And the issue with that, I blame Apple, JC, is because it used to be just iTunes, right? And then they went and changed it to Apple Podcasts. And it was the App Store. And now I think you have to say the Apple App Store, because technically you can access an App Store in Google Play is an App Store. I don't know. That doesn't matter. We're on Google and Apple. We're everywhere you can, everywhere you want to be. I'll bite that. And our podcast version of this, if you don't get to watch live on YouTube or participate in Wide Open Wednesday with the Wide Open ITG chat box, you can download that anywhere your podcasts are available. We are on all platforms, I believe. I mean, just about every single one. So Apple, Spotify, Amazon, we hit them all.
Yeah, it's everywhere on the podcast version. Also, those of you that like JC and Morgan and listen on podcast, that is now on a different channel as well. I've neglected to tell. We haven't had but two episodes since the changeover, but it's JC and Morgan colon. That's the not the word colon, JC and Morgan colon. a college football podcast. So just check that out. It's just on Apple and also Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever. Apologize for that, but please go hit the subscribe button for JC and Morgan. We had a really good episode today, by the way. Really fast-paced and nice if you love college football. I want to just inform everybody that I made a purchase last night on Amazon. It's the 20th anniversary of the XFL, and I'd forgotten about He Hate Me, Rod Smart. And I was like, whoa, okay, I remember that. So I immediately go to Amazon and I bought a vintage, I think it's the Las Vegas or San Antonio Outlaws, whoever he played for, a vintage He Hate Me number, I think 34 jersey or 24, whatever he was. And I intend to wear that publicly many times.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely.
Dude, I'd forget. It's one of those cool things that you forget about it and you're right. Like, man. It's all of a sudden vintage and nostalgic. He Hate Me.
He Hate
wild,
Me.
Wild times. It is Wide Open Wednesday. That means the ITG chat box is wide, wide open. And my wife is in there. She says, clowns are people too origin story. One of the reasons I wrote that is because she hates clowns. Like, seriously, like, I'm not allowed to talk about clowns. I have a picture that I took at the Army All-American Bowl. It's a good picture of me with Ronald McDonald. And Ronald McDonald's technically, I guess he is a clown, but he's not like the clown from It. No. And so that's why I wrote that. And in addition to Phil, like, I was going to write something about clowns because Phil called us the clowns, but clowns are people too. The whole notion of the chorus came from my lovely wife, Nat. So. She said, I should have waited three more minutes. I've now yelped at the clown songs, the clown sittings, and now we'll have the song running through my head all day. Yeah, she hates that part of it, too. She's like, thanks, Sherbert. You're welcome, Mrs. Sherbert. Bruin says, Panthers legend, He Hate Me. He played for the Panthers.
He Hate Me.
For a while. Jeffrey asked about KJ Scobie. Just got here. I think he's going to be okay. Obviously, that's not a... With all the injuries, you don't want to hear that. I believe now he'll be back. But look, baseball injuries, man, sometimes you hear one thing and then you get another.
Reality is something else.
Yeah, they're a I don't want to say fragile bunch, because that makes it sound like they're not tough, but you know, baseball players have these weird injuries that come up and they absolutely have to shut them down, especially pitchers more so than position players. But this program in general has had its run. I mean, remember a couple of years ago under Kingston when the Gamecocks are playing literally like the best team in the country They swept Florida at home. They beat LSU. They're looking great, right? And then the whole infield gets hurt. But then they come back by the end of the season. So they're all on the disabled list, and then they came back.
I don't know. This program seems snake bit when it comes to injuries over the past, five seasons or so. It's just like.
Yeah, in baseball, it's weird.
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, there's injuries all over the SEC in baseball, but.
True. And it happens all the time. I mean, and from what my understanding is, at least from the limited amount of reporting, it does not appear, at least in Scobie's case, to be season ending.
Yeah.
That's all we really know.
Jadez has some, he said, Eddie Fogler told me he interviewed back when we hired Steve Newton. He was he at Vanderbilt or Wichita State by then? But he did interview. Said he pulled his name after some weirdo on the board of trustees asked him 5 different questions about being Catholic. Always something. Yeah, I can't speak to the inappropriate or appropriate nature of anything that went on in 1991. But let's just say that there was a lot of missed opportunity before Mike McGee got to South Carolina. Interesting times, man, back then. But you know what? I don't think the basketball program lost that like this during the 2-year Steve Newton run. They were, I think, 3-13 and 5-11, so 8-24. South Carolina at this point has lost 26 of 30 SEC basketball games. So we may be at the threshold of darkness.
That's right. The program is in the abyss. Yeah. Can you say that? What, you just had a tournament appearance 2 years ago? That's the thing that really just is the sticky point for me. I'm just like, ugh. One thing I do know is that for decades, this program has been consistently inconsistent.
It's got a great surprising season in it every 5 years.
Right. Right.
And everybody gets excited, and the next year it falls apart. And it's like, and it's weird things too. I mean, South Carolina, I will give Eddie Fogler credit. He did have a good follow-up year in 97-98 because they lost Larry Davis, but they had Watson and Mackey back, William Gallman, Ryan Stack, just about everybody, but Larry Davis was back. And that team was pretty good. I mean, they didn't win the SEC, but they played for the SEC tournament championship where they lost to Kentucky, but lost a 1-point game to John Beilein and Richmond. John Beilein was coaching at Richmond at the time. They lost by 1 point. Mackey missed a little shot at the end in Washington, D.C. But the next season, Mackey's senior year, nobody saw them going 8-21. Nobody. Mm. And what? I mean, it was like, whoa. And so then they got some good players in, Chuck Edson and Tony Kitchings and that group, bounced back to 15-17, and then that next year was a little disappointing because a lot of folks expected them with those guys in their second year, they weren't freshmen anymore, to go and get to the big dance. And they lost some games at home that year. It was like heartbreakers. And they finished 15-14 and went to the NIT, lost to UConn in the first round. And then that's when Fogler resigned, hung it up. So, and it was a resignation. Now, he may have been. Yeah, he and Mike McGee, their relationship had completely deteriorated. So, anyway, Jimmy says, y'all act like we don't have money. Y'all better looking again. Yeah, South Carolina, I'll say this about money. It's a challenge everywhere outside of the stupid money schools. But, yeah, South Carolina's fine. I mean, you got to tap those resources sometimes. But I don't think – I don't think hiring a coach and making a coaching change is a money issue because they're separate buckets. You know, you talk about paying players, NIL, stuff like that. That technically has to come out of a different bucket. Now, I don't know elsewhere where the money's blended or not. And then just a completely stupid thing out of Tennessee today we'll talk about later. But I don't think the coaching change should be cost prohibitive, in my opinion.
No.
Jimmy said we could get Josh from St. Louis and he would win, but I don't know if our board would spend the money. It really shouldn't be up to the Board of Trustees. I mean, they have to approve the contract, yeah. But there's not a Board of Trustees that's serious about winning that sits there and tells their AD no. Now, unless the AD wants to do something insane, like hire a mediocre coach for a record-setting contract. That's right. But it's their job to make sure, you know, make sure it makes sense. Trust your people you hire and do it, you know.
Yeah.
And if things don't work out, then you fire the people that are in charge of making the decision. You don't micromanage it. And the board lately has not been, you know, that big of an issue. What I've heard behind the scenes. Jimmy says, Gene Moore said at Lamont, I can't verify that. I've been told that's not true, but it is going around. So I don't know. There's two different, and I'm not taking sides. There's two different schools of thought when it comes to the NIL resources South Carolina has. I'll say this, South Carolina spent enough money, to not be 4-26 in its last 30 SEC games, because there's not enough to compete. And then there's the perpetually terrible. I mean, and I think in games they've been competitive. That's not a competitive record at all.
No,
it's historically bad. And there's other schools in the league that have shortchanged men's basketball as well. And you don't have to, I mean, you know, if you're good at finding players, and I'm not saying that they're not, because obviously they found a lot of players 2 years ago. It's been kind of different. I mean, I don't know what, I don't, I'm not, tra- this is not a criticism of their ability to evaluate talent and find players, but you find a way to put a competitive product on the court. And I don't know, you know, I think there's just some things going on. So Blake said, thanks for that, JC. Looking forward on the Chief Sports page. Yeah, JC and Morgan, a college football podcast. He hate me. Bobby says, Ronald is a respected burger business owner. A clown from the 70s. Brian, good to hear from Brian. I always like Brian. Brian's had positive things, and his mom and he are good Gamecock fans. They're going to go out for now, so we should be home by tomorrow morning. Good luck and go Gamecocks. You're going out and not coming home till the sun comes up. That's good stuff.
That's right.
Jimmy's wife hates clowns as well. Bobby says Scobie has a shoulder. Yeah. Lance is in the chat box. How we do today, Killers? Good, Lance. If you're enjoying a latte somewhere. Roger says, hello, JC and Phil. Greetings from the tourist mecca of Woodruff, South Carolina. Chair Kreger's checking in from the French Market Grill. Good Cajun food in Augusta. Boy, Cajun.
Is there average jambalaya there, Craig? I just want to know, in Augusta, Georgia, do you have average jambalaya?
Coach O. Jimmy says he's too old to coach. Give Lee his time. Oh, we're talking about Paul Maneri. Blah, blah, blah. Big slam of jamma. Always love his contributions to the ITG chat box. Men's basketball looks like Charlie and Eddie Murphy going against Prince and the Blouses right before the pancake breakfast. Would you like to play a game of basketball?
Game. Blouses.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was a great.
Bruin said Fogler didn't even know who Ray Allen was. Yeah, that was interesting, but he got everybody else, though. And he would have probably gotten O'Neal and Garnett. Now, there's a lot of different talk about. Some say they would have gotten O'Neal, not Garnett. Some they say they would have gotten Garnett, not O'Neal. Some say they would have gotten both. Some say they would have gotten neither. So that was before AAU. So Ed says, JC, how can we fix men's basketball? All right, so if you want to fix it quick, and I don't think that they're in basketball now, there's so much roster transition. There was. I mean, if you look at Frank's Final Four team, there were six new players on that roster. Yeah. They transfers. You can't build it like Frank Martin is the it probably going to be the last slow build in basketball you'll see at this institution. It'll and you know, it'll either be wildly inconsistent, up and down, they'll win, they'll lose, whatever. But the way he kind of did it, getting it going, or the way Eddie Fogler did it when he took over, because Darren Horn took over a team with Devin Downey and Zam Frederick and Mike Holmes. Okay. He got left some players that were, that had transferred in, that had to sit, that were coming in, that, that really played good. I mean, Darren Horn did not take over a terrible situation. And that's why he was able to win his first year and proceeded to get terribly worse as the years went on. Dave Odom did not take over a bad situation. He had the great Marius Petrovicius. He had Tony Kitchings. Dave Odom went to the NIT. This was his first little dance with the NIT. His first year, I believe it was 02, 01, 02. His first season at Carolina. Carolina went all the way to the final game of the NIT. Lost to John Calipari in Memphis, which also beat him in the first round of the NCAA tournament 2 years later. He couldn't beat Memphis, but or many teams from the South. But it was so he inherited a good situation. Fogler inherited a dumpster fire from Newton. Newton inherited a good situation. I don't know what the roster looked like when Felton took it over from Foster. But so a lot of the coaches here, except for Fogler and Frank, which have been the two most successful, because I don't care what anybody says, you go to a Final Four or you win an SEC championship during this time period of South Carolina basketball, you're among the best. I don't care about the NIT titles. Dave would be third. But Frank, you know, those guys accomplished something, but and ironically enough, they took over the worst situation. Lamont took over a bad situation too. So, but I don't think you're going to see, I think by the time Lamont Paris took over, the game had just changed because basketball was already transfer heavy. So how do you fix it? You know, the first part of it is you're going to need to spend some money, and that means going and overpaying maybe for a great coach. You know, be more competitive, you know, because it's obviously that poll is right. I hate to inform everybody.
Yeah, right.
Basketball people do not hold this job in high regard at all. So you may have to go say, all right, you're deciding between us and Xavier. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll give you $6 million. That's a big for basketball. And you just price somebody out and you get somebody you know is going to be good. You know, whether that's a mid-major coach that's really good, that you're competing against other open jobs for, or what, you G them up, you give them everything they want resource-wise. If they want to hire a personnel guy, you need to go spend the money on that. Scouting department, assistant coaches that know how to recruit, you need to spend it, okay? And then you got to get more NIL dollars behind them, because as long as they're not going to set any limits, schools are going to continue to spend. You know, I mean, everybody kind of thought men's basketball was going to come back to earth, but there are certain places just thumbing their nose at everybody, you know? And I think same thing with the money, speaking about money, because it is a bad job, because it's not an attractive deal for a lot of players. You've got to go find, number one, find players that are good enough. And then number two, probably overpay. Just because it's tough. Basketball is different too, because the schools that don't have football in basketball, in theory, have more money to spend. In theory. So all that needs to be, and then, you know, after you get done with that, you probably need to get a facilities upgrade plan, a 10-year plan in place to, and look, the Coliseum's fine for a practice facility. The players stay in good dorms. The arena needs some upgrades. I think they could monetize the arena a little better. You know, I don't know if that's on the agenda or not. You need to have a plan for facilities moving forward and invest and fix the TV thing. I mean, I know that sounds petty, but it's not. You know, you want to know why that job's ranked where it is, besides just the results? It's because they turn on the TV, South Carolina's playing. Look at all those garnet seats.
Right.
And when Frank was here, they were a bubble team more times than not, heading in January, February. You turn on a game, they'd be playing Alabama or Georgia or somebody. You turn on a game, the attendance would be 14,000. It's 14 of 18. But behind Frank, and that's why the people that wanted Frank fired for cussing, where were they sitting? Because I didn't see him. They were close enough to hear him cuss. And it would look empty. And that's embarrassing. It doesn't matter if I'm embarrassed, though. It doesn't matter. What matters is a recruit that you can't even get on the phone, or a player that wants to get in the portal from a mid-major that's turned on your game, and you're sitting there and it sounds like you're almost, when you're watching on TV, it sounds like you're piping in crowd noise because the crowd gets loud, but you can't see them.
No. And all you see are.
I know I harp on that. They're
mumbling to each other in the background,
Honestly, people probably think I've lost my dang mind on that. What are you going on and on about that for? It's real old man yells at cloud stuff, but I'm telling you, it matters, and there's proof.
Right. Every and it's not something that is that hard to fix. That's the thing that drives me insane.
The last two coaches that have coached here definitely know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. And then, like, other coaches, like the Notre Dame coach that came in and made the comment on the record about it, they think that. There's a perception out there that nobody shows up. And on TV, they don't know that it's an 18,000. I mean, there's reasons. And it's not the fans. It's not the fans, Sure, it's hard to fill an 18,000-seat arena, especially with the SEC television overlords not doing them any favors with 9 p.m. tip-offs nonsense like that. And then part of your early conference schedule, the students come and the fans come, it's when you start losing big like this, it's kind of a hard draw. But I mean, that's a simple thing. And somebody's like, well, it cost $1 million. Well, how much does losing cost? Or you could look at it as a completely different, you could look at it a completely different way. Men's basketball does make money more so than other sports. Football makes the most. Men's basketball doesn't make any. You could run it like a venture capitalist or a hedge fund. You could run it like a hedge fund. I think that's what I had. Like they did for Toys R Us. And you could just see it as a profit thing and not really care about competing and winning. You could run it like the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Chicago White Sox.
That's right.
That's an option too. I don't think that violates the spirit of college sports, but it is because of television alone and the deal. Men's basketball does. I think I saw 3-4 million profit off that program. So maybe just do that. Ben wants Bob Ritchie, and he thinks Furman's going to the tournament again this year. Bob Ritchie would be a fantastic hire.
I would love to see that just because he's a winner, and he knows
the job.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he's wanted the job. And with a new AD, I don't know what to not like with the old, with Tanner and Chance Miller. They were well aware of Bob Ritchie. They interviewed him, whatever. They passed, So you had kind of the local connect. Donati's not from here.
Right.
And he's probably going to use a search firm and all that. But I'd love to see Bob Ritchie get the job. Bruin is mad at Eddie Fogler. Ray Allen went in his backyard. Eddie was at a beach ball classic game to watch someone else. He was asked, are you here to see Ray Allen? Ray responded, Ray who? No, I'm here to see whoever it was. Well, that's okay. He missed a one. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
Jimmy wants to throw $10 million at Bruce Pearl. South Carolina is not spending $10 million on a basketball coach, nor should they.
Yeah, right, right.
So Roger said, JC, a lot of people aren't old enough to remember that George Felton coached here. The thing I remember besides him winning fairly consistently, got a lot of good players from Columbia. Barry Manning, Joe Rhett, JoJo English, Michael Glover. South Carolina's a football school and a basketball town. That's the other thing that makes no sense. Columbia, South Carolina is an outstanding basketball town.
Yeah.
I mean, among your mid-sized southern cities, Columbia, The high school programs are good. The talent's good. A lot of good players have come out of Columbia. Yeah, Eddie Fogler got everybody from in-state too. I remember that he got a bunch of them. And then like Harold Jameson went to sign with Rick Barnes and Clemson. There's a lot of good players that one class, but Fogler got his share too. And then after, since then, I don't know. It's been since the coming of AAU basketball. It's been rough sledding, but I don't blame the people. I mean, you know, hey, look, I'm thankful G.G. Jackson and Colin Murray Bowles came to South Carolina. They didn't have to.
Nope.
Jimmy says it's the board. Well, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt now because they haven't been an issue lately. Lynn says our board of trustees interferes way too much. I don't understand the basketball thing because I don't know. Besides Alex English, who I don't think interferes. Obviously, he knows basketball. There's not a dang one of them on that board that I would call a basketball mind.
No.
I mean, I don't know what it is about that program. Yeah, some of them are old enough to remember the McGuire era. Maybe they're trying to, you know, no fault of their own, looking for to get back there. But that's never coming back. I don't care what happens. And if you think about it, you'll understand why I'm saying that. That was a different era of basketball. That was a different era of our society in the state of South Carolina. That's not coming back ever. Frank McGuire, that era is never coming back. Period.
Yeah, no.
That's all I'll say about that. The people that want that to come back, it's not. And look, my mom and everybody loved that era because they were winning their national power. But you're not going to be able to replicate that. So you got to go. As Fleetwood Mac says, you can go your own way.
That's right. You can go your own way.
And go your own way over the Blossom Street Bridge. Or is it the Gervais Street Bridge?
No, one of them.
Yeah, it's Gervais.
Yeah.
But Columbia, Gervais. Sorry. Go over the Gervais Street Bridge and take me to D's Wings. Proud sponsor of Inside the Gamecocks, Inside the Gamecocks, The Morning Show, The Show, Coffee, Chief Sports. Today's the day, Phil. What we got going on at D's?
Today is, what, is it 18 wings and a pitcher of beer? $24?
No. Nine.
Nine.
How's the dude that reminded me of the proper data now going to be $5 light on the data?
$5 light.
You're $5 white, my man. Oh, gosh.
But anyway, we were talking about the 90s, so I was like, yeah, oh, that's good for at least knocking $5 off of there.
Anyway, we appreciate D's sponsorship. And like my stepson says, best food in town, best food in the country, according to the Moose. We'll be back with the second hour of Inside the Gamecocks Show. More of the ITG chat box on a wide open Wednesday.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost five decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our four locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium, and the Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us. Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITV.
For over 80 years, the West Law Firm has delivered hard work, honest advice, and real results, and is a law firm built on family that delivers for families in South Carolina. They represent clients through personal injury, criminal defense, car, DUI, and boating accidents, and more. Built on blue collar, representing blue collar, the West Law Firm understands the importance of dedication and experience needed for representation, but with a foxhole mentality. Visit westlawfirmsc.com. westlawfirmsc.com. Get comfortable with our team and learn why we should be a part of yours when you need us. Go Gamecocks!
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. It can become extremely difficult to bounce back to what you knew before. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170.
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience and service, second to none. Residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
And now, the show goes on.
Welcome back, everybody. Second hour of Inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barn Doco, powered by Electric Bites of Charleston. Firing off here now. Got some. I was just made aware, JC, of the football schedule, college football playoff schedule for the next 2 years has been released with a Fortnite in between rounds.
Fortnite,
which makes a lot of sense, right? Here's the thing I was looking at. It's like, okay, so there is a world in which teams, multiple teams, well, not multiple, one team in particular, or any independent for that matter, could close the regular season Saturday after Thanksgiving and then play for the highest stakes there are a full 7 weeks later. If Notre Dame is ranked in the top four, then they will have to wait 7 full weeks before playing another game in the semifinals, which is, to me, just some of the most asinine scheduling. I think there is some intention with screwing this up. Like, there really is.
There's a disconnect between, like, is time off good? I think time off is good from an injury standpoint, but I also think that there's such a thing as too much time off, and the performances in the quarterfinals on New Year's the last 2 years sort of bear that out. I mean, 1-7. And good teams have gone down too. I mean, Oregon was undefeated before they lost to Ohio State, you know, and they didn't just lose. They got blown out. You know, Georgia was a very good football team, took all the time off. Notre Dame got to play. They went in there. And, of course, Georgia, you know, had a backup quarterback. At the time, a backup quarterback, they lost. Georgia this year had to beat a team for the second time. Lost. The only team that's succeeded is one of the team that's not going to let a layoff get to them.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I don't know that, you know. I think the teams that play that way from now on are going to be the ones that win. It won't matter about the buys. But moving the championship game back is just baffling to me. I'm like,
I don't understand it at all.
Who is requesting that much more time off between the quarters and, I mean, between the semis and I'm just play it. You got everything wraps up January 1st, okay? On January 8th, play the semis. If you want to have it on Monday night, you know, you play the Monday after the 8th, or like the next week, you know, so it'd be like the 16th, 17th, whatever, however you want to do it, and be done with it, man. It's just ridiculous.
I know. Yeah.
It is Wide Open Wednesday. Back to the ITG chat box. I did want to say this, Joey Aguilar.
Oh, you know whose fault it is? I'm sorry.
Whose fault? Go ahead.
It is the company Kellanova's fault, because they are the owners of both Pop-Tarts and Cheez-Its, and they are now insisting that there be no competition from the college football playoff for either of those two bowl games.
Well, the Pop-Tarts bowl can do whatever the heck it wants now.
Yeah, I mean, it truly is.
Higher ratings than, like, I think game whatever of the NBA finals.
Yeah.
Joey Aguilar of Tennessee. So this is a little egregious. He was a junior college player. He's wanting an 8th year, Phil. Now the COVID year doesn't count. So if we want to take COVID away, it's really his 7th. But this dude's been in college for 8 years. Lots of people go to college for 8 years, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're called doctors.
A judge in Tennessee, because Tennessee's made their state law like whatever the Vols want, and then Vanderbilt or whoever else can benefit from it. Whatever the Vols want to help them win, that's the state law in Tennessee about NIL and eligibility and everything else. So this dude's been all over. He's like, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. Joey Aguilar went to Freedom High School in Antioch, California. Went to the City College of San Francisco. You know who else went to the City College of San Francisco, Phil? OJ Simpson.
Oh, okay.
CCSF. Redshirted his first year, and then COVID wiped their season out. He considered quitting and wanted to be a firefighter, but then went to Diablo Valley College and continued to play football. 5 games into the 2021 season, he beat the starter, Dylan Graham, out and started playing really well. Graham left, and Aguilar in 2022 was the starting quarterback. Had an injury, came back, ended up getting an offer from App State. He was again a backup that beat out the starter, and Aguilar played really, really well in 2023. And then threw for 3,757 yards in 2024. So at this point, he's if you don't count COVID, that was his fourth and fifth year at App State. But he gets another year because of the Pavia rule. So he goes to UCLA, and then they basically traded Nico for him. And he ended up at Tennessee and played pretty doggone well for the Vols this year. 3,565 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 10 picks. Ran the ball pretty well, too. Had 4 touchdowns rushing. They went 8-5. Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback. They tried. They didn't get anybody.
Yeah.
So they want this guy to have a 8th year. And the judge,
they had a hot freshman commodity.
They do. Faison Brandon is there. Yeah. They've got players. I mean, they'd just be young. I mean, I think in an ideal world, Tennessee gets him back. If you're Tennessee, that's what you want. But it's funny. It's kind of the same old, you know. Same old schools that are quick to litigate. And Tennessee's been doing this for a while, both as a state and a program. I don't know, man. Even if you say, well, he redshirted his first year at CCSF and then COVID. So he's only, you know, like Rasul Faison had only played 3 years of college football when he got his year last year.
Right.
This cat has played 5 years of college football. This would be his 6th. Unless you've been injured, you normally don't get that. And then it'll be his 8th overall counting the COVID year. I don't know in what world. I mean, this, if they rule in his favor, though, this is going to open the floodgates. And it's kind of funny because he was part of the Pavia lawsuit to challenge the rules, you know, because what they're trying to do with the Pavia lawsuit is just blanket say JUCO doesn't count because it's outside of the NCAA's purview, which is fine. If they want to pass that rule, pass that law, I'm fine with it. I get it. I think it's kind of, it's just Pandora's box like everything else. But they haven't done that yet, right? Right. So he got out of that lawsuit and then decided to sue in local court in Knoxville. State court, and they got an injunction. So, or sue the NCAA. Maybe it was in federal court. I'm not sure. Nevertheless, man, that's a mess. That's a mess. There's no way that cat needs an 8th year. Yeah, it's not like he's had catastrophic injuries either. I mean, if some of these guys that get 8's a lot. They have the COVID year, and then they have a couple of years where, man, they just blew out their knee or whatever, right?
Right.
And that's a hardship. People get that, but I don't know. So
hardship. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Quantrell says a South Carolina donor hooked Dawn's team up with Louis Vuitton gear, the perks of winning. JC, can you get on the phone with that donor? Nah, I've retired from the fundraising part of it. I'll always help anybody. I encourage people to do it, but man, that's a different business. But
merely operating in an advisory capacity these days.
Yeah. Well, everybody loves a winner, but you know, it's a catch 22, cart before the horse kind of thing in this era of college sports. And I just don't know that there's the commitment there. I'm not talking about the fans. I just don't know that. Like I said, there needs to be better alignment, better commitment. Bobby said Lamont didn't coach to foul a million times last night. He is guilty for having Elijah Strong on the court because he is booty. Yeah, it's not my favorite. I mean, I'm sure he's a good person, but not my favorite player.
No,
I don't know that Lamont Paris is a bad floor coach. The strategy is not bad. Ethan said Lamont may need to buy the "He Hate Me" jersey.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and he adds, I don't hate Lamont, but I hate that we can't do better in men's sports consistently.
Yeah, that's
it's been a bad run. I mean, this is unprecedented too. Mm-hmm. Even with football, maybe kind of so-so. Usually, the basketball team would pop up and have a good, surprisingly good year. Then you could always count on baseball. You can't count on anything, right?
No. So.
Lion says Paris didn't all of a sudden forget how to coach. You get Dean Smith to coach, but if the roster's not good, you're not going to win. Agreed, but the roster is his responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, And sometimes you get surprised by your roster, and it's not your fault if you're a coach. Sometimes guys can shoot 50%, and then they get a play for you, and there's a lid on the basket. Travis says we need to reach out to former players like Melvin Watson, BJ Mackey, JoJo English, guys that played the Gamecocks. Yeah, they're always welcome around. Who carries on that staff? He always welcomes those guys. Is Ninja Turtles a fiver or dimer? I haven't seen it.
What, the original one?
The original movie? Maybe I did a long time ago. I'm not a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles guy.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't a big Turtles fan.
I like real turtles. I have a pet turtle.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Lynn says Dawn has a different list of supporters. Many of Dawn's supporters only support women's basketball. That's true. They've got their own kind of fan base. Same thing with baseball. When Tanner had it going, there's some folks that are just big baseball people. They like the other sports, but they put their money and effort and time behind baseball. So,
well, widespread popularity is what determines revenue generation, right? So it makes sense that there are these kind of pockets of fans who like specific things.
Jimmy, I got to disagree with you here. He says, if you get a coach, players will come. Not now. Not now. The notion of some coach is going to come in here and save South Carolina is wrong. Because if you just get a coach, like if you do it the Mike McGee way, you know, he'd heavily incentivize a coach, great benefits package, salaries were so-so, but he could land and then just turn it over to them, not give them facilities, anything. Just let go coach your way out of it, Lou and Eddie and everybody else. And that doesn't work anymore. You can't do that. And I think the sooner we all, myself included, get out of this mindset that's the solution above everything else. It is a solution. It's not the solution. I think the happier we'll be. Ethan can deal with it being in basketball, but I can't deal with football, all three of them. Yeah, it's been a tough time. So, shockingly so, to the point where I'm kind of numb to it,
right? Which is like that the next step before apathy. I think either of us will become apathetic, but if we're pushing that envelope, then you know a lot of other people are probably beyond the pale.
Yeah. Ben says Frank Martin was at least consistently competitive in the SEC. He's the only coach that's been consistently competitive, and the Gamecocks have been in the league what, 35 years now?
5 years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Lynn said Frank Martin stumbled upon a unicorn in Thornwell. If Thornwell had not had his stomach issues, I believe we'd won the national title. That would have changed the narrative. I agree. And he had the flu. Frank didn't stumble upon him, though. He beat Louisville head to head for him and Dozier. Won that recruiting battle. His uncle took him to South Carolina. Quentin said, Bill Foster had some good teams, Jimmy Foster, et cetera, but no great teams like at Duke. Quentin said, did I ever see Jack Galoon? No. Jimmy said, players will follow a coach. Jimmy, you're not getting it. In basketball? No, they're not. It's about money. Basketball is about money more than football. I mean, it's not about a coach, man.
Yeah,
Rick Pitino is one of the best coaches in the country to play for. Do you think people are just going to St. John's to play for him? No. Do you think all the players followed Cal to Arkansas for free? No. Arkansas actually skims on football money and gave it to Cal. Arkansas spends probably less on football than any school in the league and more on basketball. So, no, that's what I said. We all got to get out of that mindset. Players won't follow a coach. Coaching is important, and I'm not advocating for a retention here, because you lose this much, you know, you got to make a change, right?
Yeah,
but this whole notion that, oh, they just made a bad hire for the coach, well, there's been a lot of good hires that haven't worked out with men's basketball here, too. Eddie Vogler's National Coach of the Year. There wasn't a better hire they could have made than Frank Martin, you know? I had my issues with Dave Odom. I did think he was kind of on the downside of his career, but he had a long and illustrious. I mean, he took Wake from an also ran in the ACC to a contender. But that's the thing. Jimmy does say, who cares about cussing? Just win. Yeah, there's a you know, Frank Martin wasn't the only coach that cussed here.
Right.
And just to and let it, everybody know.
Right. And wasn't the last one to cuss here, I'm sure.
So Big Slamma Jamma says, and here's another irrelevant point you made. Dawn does it. Dawn doesn't. That's a different subject. That is no, the success of Dawn Staley in women's basketball has, outside of saying, okay, you can take a program, an athletics program at South Carolina, take your pick, and build it if you do it the right way with the right people involved. And also, Dawn, they invested. Eric Hyman, I think, for whatever reason, looked at it and said, okay, well, we can't, we're not going to pay. I don't think Eric Hyman thought South Carolina should be good at men's basketball. Or he was trying to fix football or whatever. Anyway, a lot he did good, a lot he didn't. So he hires on the cheap, just, you know, playing the basically mid-major roulette, which is a lot of schools do. Sometimes you win in mid-major roulette. Sometimes you get Nate Oates.
Right.
And sometimes you get Todd Golden, and that's good. But Darren Horn was not the answer. But he did. I think he made a calculated decision. He said, well, wait a minute, you know. There's not a lot of schools that make big name hires in women's basketball. It's basically a Tennessee-UConn world we all live in. There's an opportunity there. So he went after Sylvia Hatchell at North Carolina and then hired Dawn Staley. So they invested in that. So that, there was some alignment that took place there before they ever started winning. Big Slamma Jamma says, I've been consistent on the arena seating arrangement for years. Why do you think no action has been taken there? Is it a ticketing thing? You don't even have to. I thought they should reseed it, you know, put different people there. But all you got to do is flip the court, and that's probably cost. So Bobby said, I'll take Guy Ritchie as the coach. If you Jimmy said, call Bruce Pearl and see if $8 to $10 million would get it done. They're not spending, again, they're not spending $8 to $10 million on a damn basketball coach. Could they spend $6 million, which is top four in the country? Yeah, but they're not doing that. And Bruce Pearl's not going to come coach here for that much money anyway.
I would think if Bruce Pearl was wanting to still coach, he'd still be.
Yeah, he had a great situation. He's a hero at Auburn.
Right.
And he goes, you know, and he's retired because I guess he's just tired of coaching. He's a hero at Auburn, gets anything he wants. That saved their athletics program because they've been bad at football. And he's going to go, you know what I want to do? Because I don't have enough money. He's got plenty of money. I think I'm going to take the worst job in the SEC and see what happens. No. Auburn was a bad job, but he took it. Now, I'll say this, Jimmy. If you can get a guy like a Bruce Pearl who's out of a job, who's really good, or if you can get a Rick Barnes type of guy, yes, that's a potential solution. You can't be shy about coaches that have run their course or gotten fired for NCAA reasons, especially in this era, can't be shy about trying to hire those guys. I mean, when Tennessee hired Rick Barnes, it wasn't met with celebration. He's been the best men's basketball coach they've had. And they've had some good ones through the years, including Bruce Pearl. So I'm with you there. But Bruce Pearl on SEC Sunday Night said, Bruce Pearl is the Urban Meyer of college basketball. Yes. Probably will never get back in. Ryan Cothard says Greg Marshall should get another chance. I wouldn't be opposed to Greg Marshall. That could be a guy, like I'm saying. He's been out for a while, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. Some people would not like that. You know, some people would not like that. You're still going to have to give him money to get players and resources. Ben says hard pass on Marshall. Physically assaulted players and staff and hasn't coached in the portal era. Quentin said something about George Felton Schnapps. I don't know what you're talking about, Quentin. Jade says Furman barely supports sports anymore. They're not a Southern Baptist school anymore. And dump baseball. Furman's probably the worst job in the SoCon now. Yep. Bob Ritchie is one.
And yet still powering through with old Bob Ritchie.
You know, it's crazy. In the 70s, like Furman used to be a really good football powerhouse in football.
Yeah.
In the 70s. Furman was a powerhouse in basketball. They actually bumped Carolina out of the NCAA tournament one year when McGuire was there. I was like, wow, how's that? Yeah, they used to play home games at the Greenville Memorial Auditorium. So I looked it up, and they got busted for cheating, like paying players. Furman was a cheating. They cheated to win at one point. But, you know, the thing about Bob Ritchie is at mid-majors now, what I think you want to look for, and the guys at mid-majors that have worked out. Now, hiring mid-majors has not worked out at South Carolina at all. But there's a first time for everything. Are the guys that consistently win? You know, you don't have like Lamont Paris kind of built to the one big season and got the job. Darren Horn kind of built to the one big season and got the job. Bob Ritchie, 23 wins, 25 wins, 25 wins. Pandemic year, 16-9, still finished third. 2022, 22 wins. The good team he had that went to the tournament. 28-8, 15-3, went to the second round of the tournament, beat Virginia. So 28 wins. They did kind of come back to the pack. Still a winning record in the SoCon, 17-16. The next season, 25 wins, 11-7. This year, looks like per Wikipedia, 16-7 overall, 7-3. So he's consistent. And there's been a whole bunch of players cycle through there, and he's still won. He's replaced talent that may have left through the portal. And still won. Familiar with, I mean, checks a lot of boxes. I'm not going to lie, which probably means he won't get a sniff at the job because that's how decisions that are made with South Carolina basketball normally do. When Eddie Fogler hunted up, they could have hired a guy named Greg Marshall that was at Winthrop winning then because he had just taken them to back to back tournaments. What a fantastic hire. No, we can't hire the coach from Winthrop. Why?
It's Winthrop.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, the thing that stands out about Ritchie's record is he has never had a losing season at Furman.
Yeah.
And Jay Diz, you're right. Furman could care less about sports, truly.
Lance says something's got to give in basketball. It's getting rough. Needs something good to happen in men's sports. Been miserable in every men's sports. It's beating Clemson in 2024. It has been, Lance. That's not lost on me, and that's why from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you guys tuning in every day.
Right. That's right. Thank you so much.
We don't talk a lot of women's sports here. JB talks softball. We'll talk softball. I don't. Yeah. I'm happy when they win. It's not my bag.
Talk a little basketball when they play other premier programs. So, yeah, we give it some attention.
Ritchie grew up a Gamecock. He'd take the job in a heartbeat. It's from Florence, for what they say. Oh, TD Nell says, Beamer said Josiah Thompson entering the portal was a blindside. And while every situation is different, multiple players who entered asked to come back, to which he said no. Guessing JT was the only yes. I believe Michael Smith would still be on the roster. But Josiah, it was weird. He kind of just jumped in. Out of the blue, it surprised everybody. He wasn't really chasing a bag from what I was told. So I don't know. Ed says, I believe Indiana beat Oregon during the regular season. Yes, Ed. I was talking about 2 years ago when Oregon was number one and undefeated in the country. Oregon actually won their quarterfinal this year. They didn't have the bye. They beat James Madison and then shut the mighty Red Raiders out.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks is too long. So that's the thing there.
It's crazy.
Oh, Harrison says State of Tennessee college quarterbacks want to tear down college eligibility as we know it. Yep. Ben says courts are ruining college sports, just stripping the NCAA of any power over their own sport. It's a joke. Well, here's the simple part of this. Where is Greg Sankey? Where is the SEC? The NCAA is a national organization, so sometimes you'll get into federal laws and, you know, yes, they are denial of opportunity and, you know, collusion and things like that. But the SEC is a 16-institution voluntary membership organization that's capable of setting and enforcing its own rules independent of the courts, because guess what? There's no collusion and boxing Aguilar out. You know, if the SEC says, you know, you can go sue all you want and get a court to give you an injunction, but you're not doing it in the SEC. There's other conferences you can go play, right? You just got to be good. You know, there's other opportunities. If the whole country does it, and you know, that may not hold up in federal court. So where's Greg Sankey in all this? Why isn't he on the phone to Danny White saying, listen, from the conference's standpoint, he's ineligible. We're sorry. If you don't like it, leave the conference.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to have to happen in the SEC and elsewhere is these schools that want to go rogue, you know, the conferences will have the power to enforce things. Because you don't have to, you know, we don't need you as a member of the conference. We have 15 other schools that draw TV eyeballs.
Oh, and the presidents, yeah.
Join the ACC.
Yeah, the presidents of the member institutions, I'm sure, would be all for a uniform playing field within the league itself. It would not be a hard sell.
Yeah. Ryan loved the Turtle movie. It was a classic along with He-Man. There's a new He-Man coming out. Y'all know that?
Yeah, I saw
Masters of the Universe.
Preview of that. I'm like, I don't know.
Harrison said, enter Will Muschamp. We're talking about coaches who cussed here. Yep. And Ray Tanner, too.
Yeah.
You can ask Jamie Bradford about that. I mean, everybody, dude. It's not. Look, I know that it's. Again, it gets back to the presentation on TV, because when he said that to it was Dwayne Notice of all guys, the guy that would run through a brick wall for Frank.
Right.
And he called him an F and A-hole. And it just so happened that, you know, sometimes you just pick things up on the mic on TV because it's quiet. And you're, and look, I know Frank looked like the abominable snowman on the sideline sometimes. But, and people are like, well, he's Bobby Knight, and verbally abusive. And someone did mention Greg Marshall, and there's a lot.
I mean,
a lot of stuff to that. You never heard anything like that about Frank Martin from any of his players. You know, he was verbally abusive in practice, and he threw a chair, he choked me, or any of those allegations that came out about Coach Knight or a number of other coaches. You ever hear anything like that from anybody about Frank Martin? No. What do his players universally say? We love it. We run through a brick wall for it. He was tough on us and made us better men. Now, former players said that about Bobby Knight too, but it wasn't the same thing. There was a perception because, you know, sometimes coaches on game day get real fired up, dude. And I'm not saying they get fired up in practice and yell, but that's on the court. That's when you're working. That's on the field when you're handling your business. That's not in real life. It's not real life. It's coaching a game. And I'm never going to hold it against the guy. Now, can we talk about, does his style of coaching work nowadays and all that? You know, that's fair when it's about basketball. But I think the people that just wanted Frank Martin gone because he said bad words on the sideline, and that was the only reason, I can't agree with that. I'll just leave it at that. And I'm never going to get mad at anybody because of, like, their religion or their morals, that they think that's wrong and that bothers them. It's not – hey, more power to you, man. I'm not – I'm definitely – you're probably not listening to this show if it bothers you.
Oh, that's true.
That said, if it was across the line for you, I'm not mad at you. I'm not saying you're wrong, because everybody's entitled to their own beliefs, and I respect that, if it violates your beliefs. But if it's about basketball and – what's good for Carolina basketball and things like that, no, I don't think you should have run a guy off for saying bad words. But there were other things too. I mean, I think Frank Martin was kind of stuck in purgatory, because I believe he would have probably seriously considered other opportunities. Like, UNLV wanted to hire him a few times, but the UNLV couldn't even come close to his salary. I mean, Carolina was paying him well, and you're not going to take a 66.7% pay cut and move to Las Vegas. That sounds good for a Nicolas Cage movie.
That's right.
Yeah. But not in reality. They want to make another Hangover, but that's not what Frank Martin and his wife and kids should have done. Mm. And so it was tough for him to go with the other gigs and stuff. So I don't know. But yeah, that's what happened. All right. So we are going to get more chat box. Contrell's got something about Louisville. Greg Marshall's talk. Bryce talk wants the regular season in football. We got a lot to get to, Phil.
Yeah, it's been, this thing's going crazy. Love it.
It's been a pretty solid day. But yeah, I can't believe the quarterback got an injunction. But anyway, that's fine.
You can get a local judge to agree to whatever you want. I mean,
like I said, like from nothing but trouble, the Reeve.
Yes, it is the Shire Reeve.
Mr. Bone Stripper. Ah, you all the. I couldn't eat hot dogs for 10 years after I saw that movie. But it's a classic. Nothing but trouble. Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, who Phil accurately pointed out, doesn't say a word the whole movie, but was outstanding.
Plays two characters though, but yeah, but the one he doesn't is absolutely.
Oh yeah, but yeah, the little Dobo, and actually he plays three silent characters: the twins, and the sister.
Does he play?
And he's the brother of the cop. Yes, he is the twins. I think maybe that's Dan Aykroyd.
I did not know that.
All right, we need to fact check.
Well, I'm gonna,
because I may be talking out of my patoot. Chevy Chase is in it as well. And that's probably the closest role Chevy Chase has ever had to being like actually how Chevy Chase is in real life. An elitist butthole for what they say. So that's good. Anyway, be sure to check out again JC and Morgan colon college football podcast. Go subscribe, Apple, Spotify. Rate it 5 stars. Help us get that back. That's another thing we lost when we left the Big Spur. And we had a fiver and dimer today. The movie Just One of the Guys was a topic from the 80s, and Moneyball, and several good ones. But we'll have several good ones from the chat box to wrap things up on a beautiful, fantastic, wide open Wednesday after this.
New year, new you, right? Let the procrastination begin. You've done it before. Join the gym. Go for a couple of weeks, and then it's over. So here's our solution. Bring the gym to you. Do it your way, on your time, in your home. Visit Charleston Fitness Equipment and start where you want to start. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Have a healthy new year. Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million-mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
Today and every day, we celebrate our great state of South Carolina. This week, our hometown highlight takes us to the banks of Winya Bay, to beautiful Georgetown. Visit the Rice Museum the next time you stroll Front Street. We love you, Georgetown.
Hey, Georgetown, this is your Lowcountry lawyer and friend, Mason West at the West Law Firm. We love our folks in Georgetown, just like we do all across the state of South Carolina. And if you've been injured in a car wreck or hurt on the job, we're here to help. Call us at West Law Firm, 843-897-7525.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. It is final segment of a wide open Wednesday here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Just double checking. So we'll clear something up about Nothing But Trouble. Dan Aykroyd played one of the twins. And then somebody else played the other one, not John Candy. But after looking at this cast, apparently every Aykroyd that's ever, you know, that was alive at the time was allowed to be in this. Of course, Dan Aykroyd being the director of this movie. Yeah, but I don't even know what these relationships are. But there's a Peter Aykroyd. Maybe that's his son. A Danielle Aykroyd. Couple others down there. I don't know anybody, but you know, and since Mike was on today, Shock G from Digital Underground obviously was in that. Digital Underground, the entire group.
Yes, they got sent to Mr. Bone Stripper, I think.
No, they were allowed to leave, remember, because they were a music group and played the wedding.
Oh
yeah. Daniel Baldwin was sent to the Bone Stripper.
That's right, he was
a drug dealer.
Sorry, I'm distracted.
That's okay. I saw that. You're good.
Mm-hmm. Had to do something for my wife. Back to the ITG chat box. Nothing But Trouble. Check it out wherever it is. It's that was Dan Aykroyd's movie, though. He directed. It was his whole thing, and it wasn't well highly regarded. Chevy Chase ticked everybody off, but looking back, it kind of became a cult classic. It was just kind of weird. Vulcanvania.
Fuck,
it kind of freaked me out a little bit. I don't know when I watched it. I was younger. Quantrill said, JC, is Louisville similar to Kentucky, how Auburn is to Bama? They have always surprised me with having an elite basketball program and a consistent football product. Are they flush with cash? Yeah, University of Louisville actually does a really sneaky good job with NIL in the city of Louisville. There's two cities in Kentucky, major ones. Lexington, over towards Cincinnati, and then Louisville, which is on the Ohio River as well. It's kind of southern Indiana. But Louisville's the biggest one, and they've always done a good job of supporting. Louisville's been good for a long time, though. Probably not as far back as Kentucky has been in basketball. But when I was a kid, never nervous Purvis Ellison and Denny Crum. I remember they won the national title in 86. They beat Duke. That was the first time Coach K had taken Duke to the finals. And they were in the same conference as South Carolina in the Metro. But they were really, really good. And football, they've had some really down times. Howard Schnellenberger coached there and got them going. And then they kind of wandered through the wilderness a little bit. Bobby Petrino did some good things there. Charlie Strong did some really good things there. And now Jeff Brom's there, and he's probably a lifer. But Louisville, they succeed. They've got good fan support and, like I said, money, all that. Jay Diz went to a lot of basketball camps as a kid. No coach cussed as much as Coach K. Tanner and Frank Martin couldn't stand each other. Frank Martin couldn't believe he fined him for cussing. I don't know anything about their relationship, but I don't know. Mr. Boogie asked about Greg Marshall. I'm open to it, depending on some things. So
the only thing that concerns me is, and it's not that he's been out of the game for a while, but the period of time represented for him being out of the game has been very
traditional. You always got to think about that. That was an excuse Penn State gave for Urban Meyer turning down their job. Well, we just didn't like Will's answers on the end. I mean, you do realize Urban Meyer's been running Ohio State's NIL collective and raising money for them all this time.
Really,
even when he was coaching for the Jaguars. Right. So yeah, no, I don't know what to do. I don't. I'm one of the best coaches in the history of the game. I'm a little bit nutty. But I don't know how to run Penn State's NIL.
Well, really, according to, you know, every coach who's not and hasn't been an SEC coach, like, they were all paying players back then anyway. So, you know,
how much about NIL you think Matt Campbell had to deal with at Iowa State? Probably not a lot. Right. Anyway, crazy, crazy times. But yeah, you know, well, I don't know. I'm open to whoever, man. I haven't really thought. I do like the guy from St. Louis that Jimmy's been bringing up. I like his style.
Shirts. Is that?
Yeah. Quentin says powerhouse maybe with Furman, but I know John Roach had his best game ever against Furman, like 70 points or something. This was later, like 74 ish, after Carolina left the ACC. 720 plus win seasons in 10 years for Bob Ritchie. That's pretty good.
Yeah, dude's a winner.
Mm-hmm. Bruin says Greg Marshall can make a winner out of less talent, which is what we got. Yeah, you're not what we get right now. Yeah, you're probably, yeah. We'll see. You can go find guys. I mean, that's the bad part about it. Cam said the high school talent in the state for basketball isn't very deep. There are some outliers here and there with a couple of recruits, but as a whole, the state is pretty weak. That doesn't help much at all. Well, in-state talent doesn't matter in basketball as much, Cam, as it does in football, maybe baseball. What South Carolina does have is quality at the top. Not every year, but most years. There's some really good players, and when it is seven or eight deep, South Carolina didn't get any of them. So that's the deal. Quentin says USC Spartanburg was good in the early 80s. Yes, the Running Rifles. They won the NAIA National Championship. They had a legendary coach named Jerry Waters that won a lot of games at USC upstate. Ethan mentions Billy Donovan. Yeah, dude, I just don't think he believe it or not, he seems to really love coaching the Chicago Bulls to mediocrity every year.
You can't,
but absolutely, Billy Donovan would be an outstanding coach. Roger said USCS and Charleston won back-to-back NAIA champs. Yeah, John Crest won at Charleston. So, and Roger was at Lander at the time, got his butt kicked by both. Yeah, Jared Leto is Skeletor in the new movie.
I don't know, the
preview didn't show much of Skeletor. I'm kind of fond of Skeletor. You know, there's some memes. He's like, remember, until we meet again.
Oh, those are great. I do love those.
Oh, man. Quentin asked what Crimmins' record at College of Charleston was. It was good. They never made the tournament. They'd get beat or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they were always up near the top. They were in the SoCon at the time. He won at College of Charleston. His assistant coach at the time, Mark Binington, is now and has freaking Vanderbilt going to back-to-back NCAA tournaments after winning 30 at James Madison. And that guy, you know, so can you find a guy like that? Because Mark Binington was at Georgia Southern for like 6-7 years, Phil, and won. That's a hard basketball job. It wasn't necessarily going to the big dance or anything like that. Like, if you'd have tried to hire him here, everybody would have rioted.
Right.
But he won consistently. He was consistent. Wasn't up and down. He goes to JMU, and he puts together a squad, and they win 32 games. And then he gets in Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt, folks, y'all remember, South Carolina actually was not picked last year. It was Vanderbilt.
Right.
I remember Mike Morgan talking about that roster. It was like, who are these guys? They're like the Cleveland Indians from Major League. Who are these guys? They were actually quite good and made the NCAA tournament. And this year, they're really good. So can you find a guy like that? Like Jimmy's talking about coaching matters. Yes, but it's not like, to me, it's not a situation where you get a big name and guys are just going to start showing up. I mean, that didn't happen in football when Steve Spurrier and Lou Holtz took over. That's not going to happen at South Carolina until you start winning. But what you do need, Jimmy, is a coach, and this is why it matters, that can put together a squad no matter what.
Just put it together. Yeah.
And everybody thought Lamont was that guy because of what he did in year two.
Wild.
Russell says, I was at Clemson Maryland game years ago, and Gary Williams apologized before the fans sitting near the bench for what they're about to hear during the game. Yeah, Gary Williams was. I liked him, dude. He was pretty solid. Ben says, I'll never forget Crimmins in College of Charleston beating North 10 highest ranked win in College of Charleston history. And Ben mentions Papa John is a big Louisville donor. Yeah, it's Papa John Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
TD Null switches the pendulum back to football, the gridiron.
That's right.
Day in the NFL. the Green Bay Packers. Blah, blah, blah. Hot take or not, ceiling for next year's team, 10-2, floor is 4-8. I feel this team will have either learned to close out games with leads and make plays late in the fourth quarter, or it'll be the same as 25. I don't know. I buy that. I think what everybody needs to do is win or lose. You have to understand it ain't going to look the same. It ain't going to be the same. So the habits or the trends from last year, I'm not going to be the same. It'll just be different.
Can't be.
So too many new players and coaches to just say, well, it's that. So, but. I wouldn't put a ceiling on it. And I wouldn't put a floor on it. I mean, not right now. Now, what we're in the period of as we march the long, slow march towards the start of football season from February 4th is we're in the information intel performance gathering period. So as we gather more intel, we can maybe answer that a little better, but I don't think there's anything to learn because there's a lot of new players. I mean, when you can't block and you're called, and so here's two things, TD Null. Like the people that couldn't block are gone. I'm not saying the new people can. You know, the coaching there is going to be different. The 6 minute drives when you're down 16, about down 9 in the fourth quarter, where you run the ball at the middle over and over again. That's a thing of the past.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So those tangible things that happened, you know, as far as learning to close out games, maybe this group will, maybe it won't, but the people that needed to learn that are gone. So I don't know, but that's not a hot take. Your TD, your opinions are great, dude. Don't drench yourself in the hot take molasses or syrup or whatever. So.
Anyway. Yeah, and one way that you can say that is just like the range of outcomes for next year is pretty wide with all of the unknowns heading into the season.
You say that for every team in the SEC too.
Yep.
Good. I tell you, I think it's going to be really good. I think Georgia is going to be really good next year.
I do too. I think that with the youth that they had this year and the coaching staff that you know they have there, yeah, I'd be willing to bet that Texas is going to have a fight on their hands.
Texas and LSU, because of the portal names they got, because of Kiffin, because of Art, they're going to get all the hype. I firmly believe, as of now, again, February 4th, SEC Media Days will have Texas and LSU 1-2, Georgia 3rd. And I think Georgia will win it for the third straight year. And I think, unlike the last 2 years, where I think Kirby kind of coached his way to it, I don't think those two Georgia teams are going to be as good as this one, provided they stay healthy and all that. And it's because they were so young on defense last year. Remember their defense early in the year and in certain games, like against Ole Miss, twice, they couldn't stop anybody. Yeah. All those dudes are going to be a year older, and they retained most of them. So defense is going to cycle back up. I think they've got a good thing going on offense. I don't know, brother. I like the dogs. Woo! Johnny Unitas played at Louisville, Quentin points out. Have we seen Marion? Welcome in, Marion. Have y'all seen the documentary called Outcry, the high school football player that was falsely accused of child molestation? No.
No.
But I'll check it out. A lot of stuff goes on like that. As far as false accusations, especially these days. Tri-State says, guys, have you heard anything about Cam Scott with the Hoops team? He was a very highly sought after recruit. Comes to Carolina, doesn't play much. Entered the portal, then returned. And now this season, I don't think I've seen him get in a game in a long time. He's redshirting this year.
Yeah, it's redshirt. Yeah.
Harrison says they should have cast Brent Venables as Skeletor.
Yes. Typecast.
Montrell says Anthony Davis was traded to the Wizards. Care to comment, Phil?
Okay, so Quantrill, while it would track that the Wizards would be my NBA team, I abandoned them after they changed the name from Bullets to Wizards because I couldn't stand for that. So now I have no NBA team. I'm a man without an NBA team.
I used to pull for the Atlanta Hawks. I really don't care now. I'm not a Bulls fan.
I
feel sorry for the Bulls because you want to talk about not spending any money. Like, that's what I was thinking about, like, Carolina basketball. You could run it like they run the Chicago Bulls, pay some coach a lot of money to come in and just keep it competitive and then profit. Because that's what the Bulls do. They're always like 41-41, 500, seventh or eighth seed in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Never. They don't even try. They put more money into the freaking White Sox than they do the Bulls. Reinsdorf, those guys. The White Sox actually have a pretty good this season. I think it's going to be a lot like, Phil, the like 89-ish Braves when all the young minor league guys got called up. They all of a sudden were like better and a year away. And then, because apparently the White Sox have had the number one farm system for a while. I was not aware of that. So
you wouldn't be able to tell it from the product they put on the field. No.
Ben wants me to get on the Hornets bandwagon. I tried that back in 1989 when they.
Yeah, started. Same. I tried to get into that too. I find myself now, especially in the current iteration of the NBA, right? Like, I'll gravitate towards having players that I admire. Like, oh, I like his game. You know, it was like, okay, I'll watch this because I can appreciate the way he plays the game, or he does something so incredible that hardly anyone else can do. So, you know, yeah, it's, I have certain players that I like, but there again, I just don't watch enough of it to be able to really get into it.
I think it's great display of athletes. I think they're the best athletes in the world.
Yeah. I mean, truly they're incredible. And the things they can do are wild. Like, you know, I've shot basketballs all my life and, you know, these guys do things that I've never been able to get close to doing.
J-Diz mentions a Christmas textile tournament team at Kevin Garnett, Shamond Williams played at North Carolina, Mike Minifield, really good, and Merle Code. That group could have won the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Through the years, South Carolina's really good talent. T.D. Noll asked about Raymond Felton. No, they had no chance. Yeah. He was kind of, from the time he, because he got on the radar early, he was a special player. It was North Carolina. I mean, Latta's up there in the PD. And I know in the Grand Strand, because it's close to the border with North Carolina. I know in the Grand Strand, there's more Tar Heel fans than you would think. And so I'm not saying that influenced him. I'm honestly, the University of North Carolina basketball speaks for itself. You can't argue with that. But he was penciled in. That happened for a while, you know. North Carolina, and some people used it as an excuse why they couldn't get Carolina basketball going. Well, North Carolina and Duke are right there.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the SEC. So, yes, if there is a stud that Duke or North Carolina, like a Zion Williamson or a Raymond Felton, yeah, they're probably getting those. What about everybody else, though? Because there's a limited amount of teams in the country, you know, and during this time period, South Carolina, I think it was during the Odom and Horn era, there were guys from the state leaving and signing with, like, Alabama, who wasn't very good at the time. It was before Nate Oates got there, signing with Ole Miss and Andy Kennedy. I mean, it was weird. Georgia. I mean, those programs weren't in any better shape than South Carolina at the time. And it was before Frank Martin, so that wasn't an excuse. It was weird how it happened. You know, it's not the Raymond Feltons of the world and the Zion Williamsons of the world. It's things like Ja Morant, who you're the only power conference team to offer, and says, "Not man, I'm just going to stick with Murray State." Do we know where Murray, Kentucky is?
Not until I looked it up the other day.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank found him. Nobody else in a SEC, ACC, nobody except Murray State had offered the guy. Frank was like, okay, well, yeah, great, great player. We're going to offer him. And it wasn't like it was right before he signed or anything like that. He just, thanks, but no thanks. I think I'm going to stick with this Murray State thing. So things like that happen, that whole stretch where they would just lose players to lesser SEC programs when they were having success, that stunk. You're right. North Carolina and Duke come in and pluck the best of the best. But, I mean, I don't know. You know, you look at situations, too, in this state, like Colin Murray Boyles doing pretty well in the NBA. Colin Murray Boyles had, like, very few offers. Hmm. South Carolina was his best offer. Great player, right? Unbelievably good. A pro. And they found him. Ja Morant is another story like that. So there are players in the state that if you find them can be gold mines. The problem is basketball, sometimes that's hard to do because you do less of it at the high school level, more of it with AAU and stuff like that. Billy Cotton says we're still NIT champs.
Back to back, brother.
Quantrell says South Carolina should have thrown an NIL bag at Michael Jordan to change the trajectory. Before Dean Smith offered Michael Jordan, I believe South Carolina was going to get him right there. TD says Gamecocks have been bad my whole life in basketball. There's been some seasons that have been nice. And I was taken to a North Carolina game at the convention center at 7 years old and fell in love with a team that won the national title. Oh, yeah, Quantrell, it was in a book about Michael Jordan. It was in Jordan's book. He said, I was set on South Carolina than North Carolina.
Wow.
So the whole Carolina thing is dumb, Harrison says. Yep. Roger, you have a great day, too. This has been Wide Open Wednesday on the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Smorgasbord Day tomorrow, Thursday, with Alex Jones. Deputy Smitty, along with Matt Anderson on Fridays, joining us. Yeah. We got Deputy in here to talk about the portal class a little bit and give us his thoughts on some of the players. I've seen his thoughts on Jakarius Peak and some other players, but want to get his overall thoughts. And we get to have the deputy back in his house. And don't forget coffee tomorrow. There's a tailgate talks up on our app, podcast version, Pat and Stevens Pod. And yeah, don't forget JC and Morgan. JC and Morgan, a college football podcast. New channels for that show. We will holla at you soon. It's been the show.